welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levin, and you're coming up in this hour's sitcoms. Later on, it's an episode of Meet Corliss Archer from the mid-1950s, but right now, A Date with Judy, the September 24th, 1946 broadcast first heard on NBC.
A Date with Judy, starring Louise Erickson as Judy and John Brown as father.
Oh, hello, Judy.
Father, how are you?
Fine, dear.
It's so funny that you should call. I was just thinking of you.
Well, isn't that nice?
And would you like to know what I was thinking? I was thinking that of all the fathers in the world, you were by far the most adorable and becoming.
Adorable? Becoming?
Yes. And would you like to know why I think so? I'll tell you why. Missy and I saw a dress today, and do you know that as soon as I laid eyes on that dress, I realized how adorable and becoming you were?
That's Judy, folks. Judy Foster, the lovable teenage girl who is close to all our hearts. And now let's drop in at the Foster home. It's a Saturday afternoon, and Judy and her mother are worried about Father.
Mother, I think you're utterly right. Father is working too hard.
Well, I've spoken to him about it, but he keeps telling me that he can't run a business by the clock.
Well, it's just terrible. Here it is, late Saturday afternoon, and he isn't home yet.
Oh, the poor dear. He was meeting Mr. Emerson. He said they had some important decisions to make this afternoon.
Well, Foster, what do you think?
I don't know, Emerson. It's a hard decision to make.
Yeah, but we've got to make one, and quick, too.
Yeah, I guess so. Let me look at the figures again.
Here.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I think.
What, Foster? What?
$2 to win on Happy Lad in the sixth. Happy Lad, what a horse. He should be pulling an ice wagon.
An ice wagon is too good for him.
Well, we did it again.
Yes, sir, six in a row. All losers.
Now I know why they call it the sport of kings. You got to be a king to be able to afford it.
You're not kidding, Foster.
You've also got to be a king-sized dope to keep on doing it.
I guess so, but, oh, well, it's fun.
Fun? You call this fun? Losing six races in a row?
Well, yeah, but look at the kick you get when you win.
Huh, when you win? That's a laugh. You can't win it. You never come out ahead betting.
Well,
betting is a traffic. They dangle some easy money in front of your nose, but you never get it. Oh, no, sirree. It's the shortest route to the poorhouse.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Foster.
I know I'm right. Who do you like in the seventh?
Hi, Randolph.
Hi.
Hello, Mother.
Hello, dear.
Father home yet?
Not yet, Judy.
Oh, poor Father. Spending all of Saturday afternoon with Mr. Emerson making difficult decisions.
I just hope they made a few correct decisions.
Well, why only a few? Why not all?
Let's not be greedy, Judy. You take my word for it. They'll be lucky if they make only a few correct ones.
Well, I must say, you might have more faith in Father's business ability. I must say that I... Oh, here's Father. Hello, dear Father, dear.
Hi, Father.
Hello.
Oh. You poor dear. Sit right down here and rest.
That's a good idea.
Melvin, what happened to your voice, dear?
I guess I must have done some shouting.
Shouting? What is it to shout about in a business discussion?
Well, it depends upon the kind of business you're discussing.
What?
Well, in some businesses, when you make a decision, you feel like encouraging that decision, so you shout.
Randolph.
Did Mr. Emerson shout, too?
Oh, you should have heard him.
Well, I don't think I understand, dear.
It's just as well, never mind.
Melvin, I think you should stop working so hard.
What?
Mother and I discussed it, Father. We both agree.
And spending Saturday afternoons at it is carrying it too far, dear.
Well, especially when you choose the wrong...
Randolph!
The wrong decisions, Father.
Oh, yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, I just about decided that myself.
You did, Father?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm glad, dear. After all, it isn't worth the extra money you might make by working Saturday afternoon.
What extra money?
You're perfectly right.
Yes.
And I'll tell you something else I found out. You never make that extra money. Hmm? You try to do it the quick and easy way, but it doesn't work.
You're lucky if you break even, huh, Father?
Please, Randolph.
You know, I experienced experienced a fascinating experience this afternoon.
What, dear?
Father, remember that adorable dress I told you about on the phone?
Yes, Judy.
Well, this is very interesting. Missy said it'd cost about $18, and I said it'd be closer to $25. We argued for a while, and finally I bet her a dime I was right. So
you
we went...
You what?
We bet a dime, Father. Well, it's
Judy,
so happened...
that was a terrible thing you did.
No, it wasn't, Father. I won.
That doesn't matter. In fact, it's worse.
But why? I don't understand. Mitzi wasn't angry or anything.
You bet, Judy. You bet.
I know, Father.
There's no excuse, Judy.
Oh, Melvin, I don't think Judy did anything so terrible by betting a dime.
Dora, what are you saying? How can you stand there and encourage your own daughter to continue a habit as evil as betting?
What? Melvin Foster, I am not encouraging Judy to bet. I merely
that is
said
beside the point,
felt...
Dora.
But, Father, I only bet a dime.
The tenth part of a dollar.
It isn't the amount. It's the principle. Even betting a penny is bad. Can't you see? It's a trap.
It is, Father?
Absolutely. Easy money is dangled in front of your nose. You win a dime. You didn't have to work for it. It's wonderful. So, next time you bet 50 cents, a dollar, $10, $100.
All that, Father, on Judy's allowance of $2 a week?
Judy, all bettors end up broke in the poorhouse.
But, Melvin, you bet sometimes.
I used to, but I gave it up.
When? This afternoon?
Yeah, Randolph. I admit it, I used to bet. And that's how I know. You can't win.
Boy, you must have made some pretty bad decisions today.
Never mind that. That has nothing to do with it, Randolph. Judy, do you believe what I'm telling you?
I guess so, Father. I'll give Mitzi back her dime.
But you don't really believe it, do you, Judy?
Well, I don't
think. All right, Judy, I'll prove it to you. I guess a person can never learn from somebody else's experience. You've got to find out for yourself.
Well, how am I going to find out for myself, Father? I don't think Mitzi will want to bet with me.
Yeah, well, this is what we'll do, Judy. I'm going to give you 4 weeks' allowance in advance. $8.
Really?
Now, don't get excited, Judy. I'll bet there's a catch in it somewheres.
Yes, there is. Now, next Saturday, we'll go to Sportsman's Park. I think they have horse racing there.
Why, Father, whatever makes you think so?
Never mind. They run 8 races a day, the man said. And, you will select one horse in each race, and you'll bet a dollar on the horse.
A dollar? A whole dollar?
Yes, a whole dollar.
Well, I thought $2 is the smallest bet they take, Father.
That's true, but Judy isn't going to bet at the mutual window. She's going to bet against me. You see, I'll cover her bet.
I don't want to bet against you, Father.
Why not?
Well, I would rather not.
I think, Father, that she has her doubts about getting paid off if she wins.
Is that true, Judy?
Well, no, Father.
Hey, see, Randolph, you were wrong.
But will I, Father?
Don't worry, Judy. You have my word that I'll pay you if you win.
At the prevailing odds, Father.
What?
Is that good for me, Randolph? What does it mean?
Well, say the odds are 5-1. You win $5 for every dollar you bet, and so on.
Is that true, Father?
Yes, it's true.
Jeepers, that's wonderful.
There you see. You're in the trap. You smell easy money. Well, that's fine.
Well, Melvin, I'm opposed to the whole thing. I don't think it's right for Judy to go to the racetrack and bet on horses.
Oh, I agree with you, Dora. It isn't right for Judy to go to the track and bet on horses. And she won't go again. But I feel that it's worth it for her to go this once to learn about the evils of betting from personal experience. If she learns that lesson, more good than harm will come of it.
Well, all right, but I'm going too.
Well, I think I ought to go too, so that I can learn from Judy's experience.
All right, we'll all go. Won't do any of us any harm to learn that you never get anywhere by trying to get there the easy way. Next Saturday afternoon, we're all going to Sportsman's Park. Well, here are our seats, Dora. Not bad either, huh?
I don't know why, but I'm very excited.
Yes. What do I do now, Father?
Well, now you decide what horse you want to bet.
Oh, I see. Father, how do I decide?
Well, that, Judy, is a problem that's been troubling horse players for many years.
And, Father, as the last person in the world, I would ask if I were you, Judy.
Never mind that, Randy. Now, here, Judy, here's the program which lists all the horses in each race. And here's the racing form.
What's that?
Well, it's a sort of a paper, they tell me, which gives you the record of every horse in each race. What races he ran in, how he did, and so on. Here.
interesting?
Uh-huh.
I don't understand it.
Well, that's just as well.
Do you want me to try to explain it to you, dear?
No, thank you, Father. I don't think it'd help.
It takes most people several years to find that out.
What horse are you going to bet on, Judy?
I don't know yet, Mother. I'm studying the program. Let's see, Double Cedar, Brave Sailor, Sandy Jack, Sweet Lady. Sweet Lady. Father, I pick Sweet Lady.
Sweet Lady? Why?
Because it's such a lovely name. Don't you think so, Mother?
Sweet Lady.
It is, Judy. It's lovely.
You're picking Sweet Lady just because you like the name?
Well, can you think of a better way, Father?
Sweet Lady, huh? All right, let's see.
Let me see now. You're
sure that's the horse you want, Judy?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now I'll show you that that horse can't possibly win. Here's her record. Ran 8 races this season, hasn't won one. Now, in her last race, she ran 6 furlongs in 1:11 4/5 seconds. And there are at least 5 other horses in this race who have done better time than that. See what I mean, Judy?
Yes, Father. But it's such a lovely name. I definitely want to bet on Sweet Lady.
All right. But you'll be sorry.
To A Date with Judy.
Now remember, Judy, you're betting $1 on Sweet Lady.
At 15 to 1.
Might as well be 100 to 1.
Come on, Sweet Lady.
Oh, save your breath, Judy. Your horse is last, Judy.
Run, Sweet Lady, please.
He isn't even mentioning Sweet Lady.
Please, Sweet Lady, Sweet Lady, oh, Sweet Lady.
I wonder whether Sweet Lady is still in the race.
Oh, please, come on, Sweet Lady, come on.
No, it's Sweet Lady.
What?
Jeepers.
Well, Father, you're so pale.
Double Cedar,
and no, it's Sweet Lady.
What did you see her run, Melvin?
saw her.
You owe me a fortune, Father. I won.
Yes, you won. You won, Judy. But there are 7 more races.
I know. Isn't it wonderful? Father, tell me something.
What, Judy?
How long has this been going on?
Well, Judy, who do you like? I mean, what horse are you betting on in the second race?
I don't know. I can't seem to make up my mind.
What's the matter? Don't any of the horses have lovely names?
No, Father. I don't feel attracted to any of them. Can we look at the horses?
Well, certainly, if you think that'll help his idea. Come with me. Well, here they are. See, the jockeys always ride them around in the circle before the race. That's to warm them up.
Oh, I see.
Parson, you old so-and-so.
Uh-oh. Hello, Emerson.
Hello, Mr. Emerson.
Why, Judy, hello. Say, Foster, I thought you said you were through betting.
I am, Emerson.
Well, then what are you here for, the sunshine?
I'm here to teach Judy you can't make money the easy way. She's betting.
No kidding.
That's right, Mr. Emerson. Father gave me 4 weeks' allowance in advance, and I'm betting him $1 a race.
What? Why, Foster, you ought to be ashamed of yourself stealing the kid's allowance.
Now, wait a minute. That's not...
Well,
I only...
Father isn't doing that. I won from him.
You did? That's a hot one. Who picked Sweet Lady for you?
I did it myself.
What?
She liked the horse's name.
No kidding. Who do you like in this race, Judy?
Well, I think that one. Number 4.
Number 4? Let me see. Oh, that's Slowfoot.
Slowfoot? Why, Judy?
Well, the color of the horse matches the jockey's eyes.
What?
That's the way she picks them, Emerson.
Well, let's see. Slowfoot, huh? Well, let's see what the experts say. The tipster says here, quote, if this horse doesn't have an inferiority complex yet, this race will give it to him, unquote. let's see. Oh, Charlie the Tout says, quote, put a saddle on me and I can beat him myself, unquote.
You hear that, Judy? He hasn't got a chance.
I have made my decision, and nothing will deter me.
Okay, but you'll be sorry.
Jordan is out of the running. They're coming down the stretch. It's front page, glory song, slow foot.
Hurry, Tom! Slow foot!
And on a front page, slow foot and glory song. It's slow foot and front page. And it's slow foot by a head.
Oh,
won.
No. Yes, I know.
Oh, Father. I'm so grateful for everything you're teaching me.
Oh. I tell you, Emerson, it's uncanny. 6 races and she's won every one of them.
I can't understand it. It defies all the laws.
She picked by a hair in the 3rd because she felt sorry for it, so few people were betting on it. And in the 4th, she picked Spookship because she likes mystery stories. In the 5th, Saranac because he reminded her of Glenn Ford. And Hideaway in the 6th because, get this, Emerson, because it has long eyelashes.
Oh, incredible. But it's pure coincidence, Foster. Couldn't happen again in a million years.
Yeah, maybe not. But I owe her a fortune. There are only 2 races left. There's only 1 thing to do. I've got to win some money in the next 2 races.
I thought you weren't going to bet anymore.
Well, what else can I do? I don't want to pay her out of my own pocket.
Yeah, well, who do you like in the 7th?
Well, let's see. What about Hot Toddy?
Hot Toddy? Why?
Well, it's such a cute name for a horse.
Foster, do you mean to tell me that an old horse player like yourself is going to pick a horse because it's got a cute name?
Well... It works for Judy.
Oh, you're cracking up, Foster.
Well, who do you like?
There's only 1 horse in this race, Tread Easy.
Tread Easy, huh?
Sure, he can't lose. I'm going to bet heavy on him. $4.
Tread Easy, huh? I'll be back in a minute.
Well, where are you going, Foster?
To see how Judy feels about it.
Tread Easy? Oh, no, Father. There's nothing distinctive about him.
No?
No.
I bet on Frisky Sal. That's sort of an interesting name.
How do you feel about that, June?
Frisky Sal? I'm sorry to contradict you, Mother, but that name doesn't interest me at all.
Oh, doesn't it?
Not in the least. Yeah. Now, the horse that I...
Yes.
Well, don't you think that Hot Toddy is much cuter?
Oh, I do, Judy. I definitely do. As a matter of fact, I was fascinated by the name.
I bet on Hot Toddy.
Father. Hot Toddy, that's fine. That's great. Excuse me, I'll be right back.
Goodness, where's your father running to?
To see a man about a horse.
Emerson!
What is it, Foster?
The line's too long. The race will start before I can get to the mutual window. Make this $5 bet for
me. Oh, sure. Tread easy?
No. Hot Toddy.
Hot Toddy? Are you kidding?
Please, Emerson. Hot Toddy.
But, Foster, I can't let you throw your money away.
Throw it away? But Judy said...
Now, look, Foster, don't be a child. The kid had a few lucky breaks.
Six in a row.
Coincidence, pure coincidence. Get a grip on yourself, Foster. You're a grown man.
Yeah, maybe you're right, Emerson. Couldn't happen again in a million... No. Hot Toddy, Emerson.
Oh, all right, Foster, it's your money.
Yes, it's my money, and I want it on Hot Toddy.
You don't like Hot Toddy, huh?
It's your money, Foster.
Yeah.
Well, she likes the name.
It's your money, Foster.
Yeah.
Well, she... All right, Emerson, bet it on Fred Easy.
Tread Easy,
stay there, Tread Easy!
Catch him, Hot Toddy!
I wonder who's betting on who.
They're coming down to the line of finish. It's Tread Easy and Hot Toddy. And next and next.
Tread Easy!
Tread Easy wins by a nose. Hot Toddy says...
He won! Tread Easy! He won!
I can't understand it. It's very strange. I was positive Hot Toddy would win.
Yeah, but he didn't. Tread Easy won. You see, Judy, I told you, you can't win
your
all
attention, the... attention, ladies and gentlemen. Your attention, please. Tread Easy has been disqualified.
What?
The winner of the seventh race is Hot Toddy.
What were you saying, Father?
No, it can't be. They can't do this to me. Emerson, it's all his fault. I'll kill him.
I won. I knew he'd win. I knew it.
And the little lady wins again, Father.
She's uncanny. Seven in a row.
Foster,
Emerson, you touted me off.
Foster, I apologize. Now, who does this charming young lady like in the eighth? Judy, tell me, huh?
Well, Mr. Emerson, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to bet on this race.
What?
No, Judy. No, don't say that.
Well, Father owes me enough money.
Please, Judy.
Melvin, if Judy wants to stop betting, she should.
Talk to her, Foster. You're her father. Talk to
you
her.
You can win more, Judy. Lots more.
I'd rather not take the chance, Father.
Now, listen, Judy, we made an agreement. You are going to bet on every race, and you're going to. That's final.
That's telling her, Foster.
Well, all right.
Which one, Judy? What name do you like?
How about Easy Living?
No.
30 grand?
No.
Yeah.
You know, none of these names does anything to me.
Not even 30 grand, Judy?
I'm afraid not, Mr. Emerson.
Foster, do something.
Judy, come with me.
Where are we going, Father?
To look at the horses again. Well, Judy.
Look at 30 grand, Judy.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. None of them just...
Judy, please. Judy, I'm out $20.
Well, I'm sorry, but... Wait. That one. I think he winked at me.
Winked at you? What does that mean?
That one? Number six. Let's see. Winner pile. Oh. Come on, Emerson.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Just because a horse
Listen,
winked
Emerson,
at her...
if Judy says that horse winked at her, that's good enough for me. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Oh, but you
can do what you want. As for me, I know what I...
Wait, Foster. Wait for me.
Well, when Winterpile wins, I'll be able to pay off Judy and still end up a little to the good.
If he wins, Foster.
Oh, stop worrying, Emerson. He winked at Judy, didn't he? Well, there they are. Hello, Judy.
Hello, Father.
Melvin, where were you?
Oh, around. Well, Judy, so you think Winterpile's going to win, huh? I'll tell you a secret. I put a little bet on him myself.
But, Melvin, you said that
I
you...
I know, but a man can't pass up a sure thing, can he?
Remember the trap, Father.
Oh, this is different.
Father, would you mind if I sort of changed our bet?
What? Change our bet? What do you mean?
Well, I'm not sure Winterpile did wink at me.
What? Foster, you ruined me. You talked me into
it. Shut up, Emerson. Judy, what are you saying?
Well, I'm not sure. And there's another horse I'd like to bet on.
Who? Quick, who is it? We might still be able to get a bet down on him. Who?
Well, I just remembered I once had a teacher whose name was Miss Simple.
So?
So, there's a horse in this race whose name is Miss Simple. I'd like to bet on that.
Yeah, come on, Emerson. We may still... Well, I think we can still get
that. Oh, well...
Come on.
Oh,
No. You made me bet on Winterpile, so you've got to bet on him, too.
Now at the half, it's Winterpile still in front by 2 lengths.
Judy, you're a genius. Come on, Winterpile.
Come on, Winterpile.
Maybe he did wink at me.
You're uncanny, Judy. We'll go from track to track. We'll win a fortune.
What about the evils of betting, Father?
Oh, this isn't evil. This isn't betting. It's a sure thing. We'll go from track to track.
May I go with you, Foster? Come on, Winterpile.
Yes, Winterpile. This simple, Winterpile.
Huh? Winterpile, drop dead.
I knew Miss Simple would win.
You said Winterpile. He winked at you.
But I changed my mind. I told you Miss Simple.
And I bet every single dollar on Winterpile.
Oh, Father, you poor unfortunate man.
You see, Judy, I told you. You never come out ahead betting. Never.
Now, let this be a lesson to you.
Randolph, do you want to know something very interesting?
What, Judy?
We have in our possession a very fine, generous father.
We have?
We certainly have. Imagine him going to the Bon Ton all by himself and buying this exquisite, charming dress simply because he overheard me mention purely by accident that I liked it.
Imagine.
Why, there is no limit to his kindness and generosity. He said he was going to buy the other one in the window for me, too.
No kidding.
No kidding. I just have to do one small favor for him.
What's that?
I have to pick him 8 winners for tomorrow.
A Day with Judy is written by Aline Leslie and stars Louise Erickson as Judy and John Brown as Father, with Tommy Cook as Randolph and Myra Marsh as Mother. Original music was composed by Paul Sartell and conducted by Konstantin Bakalinikov. The program was produced and directed by Helen Mack.
A Date with Judy on Tuned to Yesterday from September 24th, 1946 on NBC. That was radio's second highest sitcom on the air during that time. 18.4 million people tuned in to NBC's Tuesday night at 8:30 to catch that broadcast. The highest-rated sitcom of that era was the Jack Kelly and Eve Arden program, drawing over 19 million listeners. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday with your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Meet Corliss Archer. This undated broadcast, most likely from the mid-1950s, first heard on CBS. This is an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast.
From Hollywood, we invite you to Meet Corliss Archer, America's Teenage Sweetheart, featuring Sam Edwards, Fred Shields, and Mary Jane Croft, and starring Janet Waldo. It's been said that a well-fed man is a contented man. Well, we could find no better example of this than Harry Archer, as we look in on the Archers just as they're finishing dinner.
Why, that was a good dinner. Corliss, your mother is a remarkable woman.
I'll say she is.
She's not only attractive and intelligent, she's also a wonderful housekeeper and an extremely talented cook.
Oh, I'm overwhelmed. It's amazing, Harry, how you can be mellowed by a little food. There, you see, Corliss, living proof that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
You know, this is very disillusioning.
Disillusioning? Why?
Well, you read all about love and romance and moonlit tropical skies. And then you find that all it comes down to in the end is being able to make liver and onions.
Well, there's more to it than that, Corliss. But it's too soon after dinner to open a marriage clinic. What would you girls like to do this evening?
Oh, I don't know, Harry. You ought to get to bed early.
Why?
Well, you're taking that examination tomorrow for more life insurance, and you want to be in good shape.
Now it comes out. All you're worried about is how much money you're going to get when I die.
Yeah, that's right. After all, it's going to be easier for me to get another husband if I'm a rich widow.
Well, won't you use part of the money to buy flowers for my grave?
Well, maybe. If I have enough left over after I buy a mink coat and a yacht and a few little trinkets like that.
Janet, you're a mercenary woman. I've always suspected you married me only for my money. Well, you'll be pretty lonesome when I'm gone.
Oh, I don't know. All that money should make very good company.
Okay, but when all the money...
Why, Corliss,
how can you joke about such a thing? I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want Daddy to die.
Oh, now, Corliss, listen.
How can you be so heartless? How can you laugh at such a thing? Oh, it's just too...
Corliss.
Please, let me alone.
Corliss, baby, listen to me.
What?
Listen, Corliss. We've got to be realistic about these things. You know your mother isn't heartless, and I don't think I am either.
But, Daddy...
The whole problem of the shortness of life is a difficult one to face, Corliss. But a really mature person will face it frankly and realistically. And any mature and realistic man who really loves his family knows that he's not going to live forever and wants to know that they'll be provided for after he's gone.
I'm sorry, Daddy. I guess I've been acting like a baby.
There's my big girl.
And you don't have to worry. If you leave enough money, I'll put flowers on your grave every day. Dexter?
Yes, Corliss?
Have you ever thought what's going to happen when you die?
Holy cow, that's a heck of a question.
Well, we've all got to go sometime. You've got to be realistic.
I don't mind being realistic. It's just that I wasn't planning to go for a while yet.
Well, don't be afraid to think about it frankly. What would you do if I died?
Holy cow, I don't know. I never even thought about it.
Well, why didn't you think about it? Doesn't it mean anything to you?
Of course it does, Cora.
I know what you do. Probably the first thing you do would be have a date with Betty Campbell. You'd take her out and hold her in your arms and kiss her and kiss her and kiss her.
Oh, I would not.
Why not?
She'd never let me.
Oh, you're just a child. I can't talk to you about these things.
For the love of Pete, Corliss, what brought this up anyway?
Nothing. It just struck me that I can never have mature discussions with you like I have with Daddy, that's all.
Mature discussions? Mature discussions about what?
Life, death, insurance.
What the heck is death insurance?
So what's the use? I can't talk to you. You're just too immature. Go talk to Betty Campbell. That scatterbrain is about on your intellectual level.
Holy cow, Corliss.
Good evening, Dexter.
Oh, hello, Mr. Archer. I didn't see you sitting there in the dark.
Just having my after-dinner cigar. You looking for Corliss?
Yeah, I guess so.
What's the matter? You sound kind of low.
Kind of low? I'm lower than a midget with flat feet.
What's the trouble?
No, oh, I had sort of a fight with Corliss.
Again? Don't you kids ever get tired of fighting? What's going on now?
She says I'm not mature.
Oh?
After all, I'm only 16 years old. What does she want me to do to prove I'm mature at this point? Die of old age? Mr. Archer, do you think I'm immature?
Well, no, not for your age. Of course, I hope you'll get more dignified as you grow older.
Dignified? How do you mean?
Well, that hot rod of yours, for example.
What's the matter with my car?
Well, it's certainly not a dignified-looking car.
Why not?
I can't imagine a justice of the U.S. Supreme Court riding around in a car with a sign on it that says, "Taxi lady, ride in style. Rates are low. A kiss a mile."
Well, that's different.
What do you mean?
Those guys are too old to kiss a girl every mile.
Well, maybe you have a point there. Say, what brought all this up anyway?
A mature discussion I was having with Corliss.
A mature discussion? A mature discussion about what?
Oh, life, death insurance.
What the heck is death insurance?
That's what I'd like to know. Look, Mr. Archer, do you think Corliss would think I was more mature if I had an insurance policy?
Yes, I think so.
Well, how do I get one?
It's very simple. Any insurance company would be glad to sell you one. You could probably get $1,000 worth of insurance at your age for about
$10. $10? If I had $10, I wouldn't worry about being mature. Why, for $10, I'd go around in diapers.
Well, could you afford 10 cents a week?
10 cents a week? Well, yeah, I guess so.
Then I'll tell you what I'll do for you. For 10 cents a week, I'll act as your insurance company.
How do you mean?
You pay me 10 cents a week for 50 weeks. That'll make a total of $5.
Yes.
And for that, I'll insure your life for $500.
$500?
Yes.
Wow!
Is it a deal?
Well, sure. What can I lose?
Okay. But you've got to pay me the 10 cents every week. That's the premium. If you miss one premium, the policy's canceled.
Okay.
Okay, give me a dime.
A dime? But all I've got is 40 cents, and I was going
to
take...
Do you want to be mature, or don't you?
Okay, here's the dime.
Fine. I'll have a policy typed up for you.
Swell.
Now you're on the road to maturity.
Yeah.
Now you're on the way to becoming a man. I expect to see you acting now with restraint and poise and dignity.
Yes, sir. Well, I better tell Corliss. Good night.
Good night. Now remember, restraint and poise and dignity.
Yes, sir.
Harry?
Yes, Janet?
What's this I hear about you being an insurance company?
Oh, yes, I've insured Dexter's life for $500. All he has to do is pay me 10 cents a week for 50 weeks.
Well, I don't get it. What have you got in mind?
Look, Janet, at the end of the 50 weeks, if he's kept up the payments, which I doubt, I'll give him back his $5. I'll add five of my own to it, and he can take the $10 and go out and buy himself a real honest-to-good man-sized policy.
I see, but you're putting yourself under a $500 liability in the meantime, aren't you?
Yes.
I mean, what if, well, heaven forbid, anything fatal should happen to Dexter before the end of the year? The way he runs around in that hot rod of his?
If anything should happen to Dexter, Corliss gets $500. You certainly can't object to that.
Corliss?
Yes, she's the beneficiary under Dexter's policy. If we lose Dexter, we get a rich daughter.
Oh, Harry. Well, I guess you know what you're doing. Seems to me like an awful lot of to-do over I don't know what.
Look, Janet, it'll give the boy a good object lesson in thrift and responsibility.
Well, I wonder if that's the right way to teach thrift and responsibility. I've been reading a book by a child psychologist and
Oh,
he...
some of these modern books on bringing up children make me a little sick. It just takes good old horse sense. How did children ever grow up in the days when there were no child psychologists?
No, that's not the point, Harry. Farmers have been growing things for centuries, but with modern methods, they can grow them better.
What does this book suggest? Putting Vigoro on Dexter? I tell you, Janet, this insurance policy will do Dexter good.
Well, why are you so concerned with teaching him about thrift and handling money? He's got a father of his own.
Well, it's an investment.
An investment?
It looks like those kids are bent on getting married someday. It's worth $5 to me not to have a son-in-law that's a bum.
Oh, Mom! Daddy!
Oh, what's all the excitement?
Oh, I'm so proud. Everybody's so jealous. Dexter's so mature.
Now what?
He's got a $500 life insurance policy pinned on the back of his sweatshirt. That part again, Dexter, about whereas the insurance.
Holy cow, Corliss, let's put this thing away before it disintegrates.
Dexter, you're keeping up the payments, aren't you?
Well, sure. I paid the first dime. The second payment's not due yet. Let's forget about the insurance for a while. Let's do something this afternoon.
You want to see that Gregory Peck picture?
I'd rather see Marilyn Monroe.
Well, I'd rather see Gregory Peck.
You would, huh? Of course, I'll bet you that even Gregory Peck would rather see Marilyn Monroe.
Well, I want to see the Gregory Peck picture.
Okay, we'll see Gregory Peck. Let's go. Oh, have you got any money?
No. Have you?
No.
I've used up my whole week's allowance already.
Well, so have I. I wish my father would increase my allowance. I'm tired of getting an allowance that rattles. I wish I could get one that rustles. Ask your father. Maybe he'll give you an advance on next week's allowance.
Well, Daddy's not home. And anyway, he told me absolutely no more advances. Can't you get any money?
My father won't advance me any money either.
You ought to be able to figure out how to raise some money. You're supposed to be mature now that you've got an insurance policy.
The only way I could raise any money would be to drop dead.
Oh, golly, I did want to see that picture.
Hey, I got an idea.
What?
I can borrow some money on my insurance.
What do you mean?
I don't know, but I've heard people talk about borrowing money on their insurance.
How?
Well, let's figure this out. I pay in $5, and for that I get $500 worth of insurance.
Yes?
That's $100 your father owes me for every dollar I put in.
That's right.
Well, so far I put in 10 cents, so he owes me $10.
That's right!
Well, if he owes me $10, I should certainly have a dollar's worth of credit.
Oh, golly, Dex, you sure are getting mature. It's too bad Daddy isn't home so you could get the money this afternoon.
Yeah, I... Hey, wait a minute. I'll go in and borrow a dollar from my father. He's home. He'll give it to me if I tell him your father owes me 10.
Okay, hurry up.
I'll be right out.
You know something, Dexter?
What?
With things like this going on, it's no wonder grown-up people always have so much money. Gee, that was a good picture.
It was all right. I'd still rather have seen the other one.
Oh, stop it. What has Marilyn Monroe got that Gregory Peck hasn't got?
Holy cow, folks, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. Let's walk a little faster. We'll be late for dinner.
You sure got that dollar from your father fast enough.
Well, when I told him your father owed me $10, he said Mr. Archer's credit is good with him, so he gave me the buck.
When do you have to give it back to him?
I told him I'll pay him back tonight. I'll get the dollar from your father now and turn it over to my father.
Golly, you're really getting to know about finance and those things, aren't you?
Being a woman, you may not realize it, but finance is the foundation of this country. Where would all of our great industries be if it wasn't for finance?
I guess you're right.
Of course I am. Finance has been in back of all the world's great inventions. Without finance, Edison couldn't have invented the electric light. Without finance, Fulton couldn't have invented the steamboat. Without finance, Mohawk couldn't have invented the carpet. Oh, I see your father's home. There's his car. Now, I'll go in with you and get my dollar.
Okay. You want to stay for dinner?
Oh, no, thanks. I can't. My mother's expecting me.
Hello! I'm home!
Hello, Corliss.
Hi, Daddy.
Well, good evening, Dexter. Sit down.
Thanks, Mr. Archer. I can't. I have to get home for dinner. I just wanted to see you for a minute on a financial matter.
A financial matter?
Yes. I want to borrow some money on my insurance.
What?
Well, you owe me $10 now, and I'd like to have a dollar of it.
I owe you $10?
Well, yes. I get 100 to 1 on my money, and I've put in a dime so far, so you owe me $10. And I'd like to have one.
Now, wait a minute. I don't owe you $10.
But, Daddy, it says in the policy...
Excuse me, Corliss. Just let me explain.
All right, Daddy.
It's very simple, Mr. Archer. I paid
you... So far, you've paid in 10 cents.
That's right, and I...
Now, for that 10 cents, I've undertaken to pay your beneficiary $500 if you die this week.
Well, how much money do you owe me right now?
Nothing.
Nothing?
That's right, nothing.
But my 10 cents...
Your 10 cents has paid me for the risk that I've taken for the week. I might have had to pay out $500 at any time this week. That's a risk. You can't expect me to take that risk for nothing.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Well, look, Dexter. Any insurance company is taking a risk when they issue an insurance policy. They may have to pay the full value of it after receiving only one premium. In many cases, that's exactly what happens. Their actuarial figures indicate in how many instances that will happen, and their premium rates are regulated accordingly. That's the explanation. Any fool can understand that.
Have you got an explanation a moron could understand?
Don't you follow it, Dexter?
I follow that you don't owe me any money.
That's right.
And I follow that I borrowed my whole next week's allowance from my father and spent it all the day on chorus because I thought you owed me $10. And now I'm not going to get any allowance next week.
You better get some money someplace because you've got to pay another premium next week. And if you don't, your insurance will be canceled.
Holy cow! How do I manage to mess myself up like this?
I'll admit it takes talent.
Well, I think I'll go home and think this over. Good night, Mr. Archer.
Good night, Dexter.
Good night, Corliss.
Good night, J.P. Morgan.
I've been figuring and figuring, Corliss, and no matter how I figure it, I'm out a buck.
Oh, I know you are, Dex, and I'm going to straighten this whole thing out for you.
You're going to straighten it out? How?
Come on, I'll show you.
Where are we going?
To see Daddy.
But
do you want me to help you or don't you?
Okay, I'm over a barrel. Let's go.
Now, let me handle this. Excuse me, Daddy.
Yes, Corliss?
I'd like you to loan me 10 cents.
Now, Corliss, I told you there'd be no more advances against your allowance.
I'm not asking for a loan against my allowance.
Then against what?
I want you to loan me 10 cents against the money I'll get under your insurance when you die.
Now, there's a nice thought.
Well, we've got to be mature about these things and face them realistically.
I see. You want me to loan you 10 cents against the money you'll get from my insurance when I die.
That's right.
What do you want this 10 cents for?
I want to loan it to Dexter so that he can pay the premium on his insurance policy, so that it won't be canceled, so that I'll get the $500 if he dies.
Now, wait a minute. This is getting kind of complicated. I can't loan you money against money you're going to get when I die.
Why not?
Because you won't get it until I do die, and if I'm dead, how are you going to pay me back?
How am I going to pay you back?
Yes.
I know.
How?
I'll pay it to your estate.
No, no deal.
Why not?
Because you're going to get the money from my estate, so you'd just be paying it to yourself. What kind of a deal is that, borrowing money from me and then paying it back to yourself?
I got an idea.
You keep out of this. I said I'd handle it.
Well, you're not doing so good.
What's your idea, Dexter?
Well, how about giving her 10 cents so she can give it to me to pay for my insurance? And then leaving her 10 cents less worth of insurance when you die. That way you don't lose anything.
No, that's not a fair deal.
Why not?
Well, in the first place, 10 cents is worth less to her now while I'm alive than it will be after I'm gone and I'm not here to support her.
Yes.
And in the second place, why should I leave her less money just so you can be a big shot and leave her more money?
I never thought of that.
I told you to keep out of this.
Well, I don't see you straightening it out.
Well, I'm a woman. I'm not supposed to understand these things.
Great. If a woman doesn't understand, that's because she's a woman. If a man doesn't understand, that's because he's a dope. A guy can't win.
Well, I don't want to see you done out of any money, Dexter.
You mean you're going to let me have the buck after all?
No, I explained to you that you don't have a dollar coming to you.
Then you mean you're not going to cancel his insurance if he can't pay the premium this week?
No, that would be contrary to the terms of the policy.
Well, then what?
Just as I say, I don't want to see you done out of any money. So, Dexter, here's your original 10 cents back. Now the policy is canceled.
Holy cow, now I'm right back where I started.
Oh, yeah, it looks that way. The only thing is that... Wait a minute. I've got an idea.
What?
Now you've got 10 cents. Give it to Daddy and take out a new policy.
Hey. That's not a bad idea.
See, I told you I'd straighten this out.
Yeah. Now, if I can get my dime back at the end of every week like this, I can keep on having $500 worth of insurance and it won't cost me any.
Now, wait a minute. Where do I come off in this deal?
Well, Daddy, don't you see? Nobody loses anything.
Look, don't you see that the risk involved is... I mean, the premium is paid for... Dexter has to... Oh, never mind. Good night, Corliss.
Night, Daddy.
Good night, Mr. Archer.
Good night.
Well, I sure have to admit, you've been acting an awful lot more mature about money than you used to, Dex.
Oh, gosh, Corliss. Thanks.
You'll be a wonderful husband. I'm sure you will.
Well, gosh.
Dexter, will you kiss me the first thing every morning and the last thing every night?
Holy cow, I'd do that even if we weren't married.
Well, it's harder to do after you're married.
Why?
I don't know. I read it someplace.
Oh, well, you can't believe everything you read. I read once that women know as much about money matters as men do, and that's not true.
Oh, I don't know. Don't you think I know as much about money matters as you do?
Holy cow, you were just telling me how much more mature I've been acting about money than I used to.
Well, I will admit you seem to be managing your money better these days.
Sure. It's just a question of being systematic. I got myself on a budget. So much for this, so much for that. And a dime set aside every week for my insurance. That way I'll know where all my money goes and I won't be broke at the end of the week.
Well, that's very admirable. I guess you really are getting mature.
Sure. Oh, wait, I want to stop in this store for a minute. I want to get some chewing gum.
Okay, go ahead in. I'll wait.
Okay. Corliss.
What?
Corliss, could you loan me a nickel till I get my allowance?
Corliss Archer, starring Janet Waldo, is based on characters created by F. U. Herbert. It is a James L. Saphir production, directed by Stephen Hayden. Tonight's script was written by Jerry Adelman. Dexter is played by Sam Edwards. And Mr. and Mrs. Archer by Fred Shields and Irene Tedrow. Music was composed and recorded by Felix Mills.
Meet Corliss Archer on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from the mid-1950s. Closing out this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. And until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.